falls down somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others. Because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. Sometimes we find a youngster suddenly taking to devotional service, becoming very enthusiastic in performing the activities of devotional service. And after a period of time, sometimes after a year or two, suddenly he thinks, I am missing my material life very much. All my material friends are more happy than me. So thinking like that, sometimes you find a devotee leaves the company of devotees and he goes back into material circle. Again he wears the old jeans. Again he wears the t-shirt. Again he wears the sunglasses. Again he keeps very special hairstyle and he wants to wander here and there with young girls. And he thinks, I have missed my material life for a long period of time. And he considers that I have wasted my life in devotional service. And he thinks, let me again enjoy, resume my enjoyment, just like my other friends. So this is not uncommon. It can happen to someone who is not sufficiently frustrated in the material world. Srila Prabhupada says, one should have a pessimistic viewpoint about the material world. He writes in Bhagavad Gita 13.8-12. He says one should have a pessimistic idea about the material world. Materialistic people never like this word pessimism. My Prabhupada says one should have a pessimistic idea about the material world. Which means one should be convinced that if I engage in all material activities, all material activities lead to sense gratification. All sense gratification leads to misery. That means material activities lead to misery. A equal to B, B equal to C. So A equal to See. You will see that the whole material world is so created that the material allurements are placed all around us. And you become fascinated by them, attracted by the glittering illusion. You want to accumulate them, possess them, enjoy them. Then that leads to sense gratification, indratyuti. And all sense gratification leads to misery. In this way, material life leads to misery, which keeps on expanding more and more. Untold misery. So a devotee, in the beginning stage, if he is sincere, he tries to give up the material engagement and engage his mind and senses in spiritual activities for the pleasure of Krishna, for acting for the pleasure of Krishna. But sometimes, due to some bewilderment or ignorance, it's likely that a neophyte devotee may again fall back into the material mire and again take to material life. And what happens to him when he tries to enjoy the material world? He cannot enjoy it as a materialist can enjoy, because only a person who is thoroughly in illusion can experience any enjoyment in the material world. That is why in Bhagavatam there is a verse which says, only a person who is a fool and a paramahamsa, only these two people can laugh. All the time keep laughing, all day. They can be laughing. Sometimes a fool in the street, a bum, you see him lying in the corner of a street, tearing his clothes, laughing, showing all his teeth. His hair is disheveled. He is lying one leg inside the gutter, one leg outside. You can see that he is eating all garbage. And he is laughing. On the other hand, you find a very great Paramahamsa devotee of the Lord who is like a swan, who is always cheerful, very happily situated. But all in between people will be miserable, because they know sense gratification causes suffering, misery, but they are unable to give it up. So the material world is called as a place where you cannot stop playing. At the same time, you will never win. That is material life. You go on playing the game of material life, hoping that I am going to win, I am going to get enjoyment, but you never get. You go on suffering. That is why living entities in this world are miserable.
and they suffer.
And they're struggling to come out. The easy way out is to indulge in sense gratification. But the result is burnout. And the difficult way is to elevate our consciousness and experience spiritual pressure. But that is a hard way. So people don't want to go a hard way, people want the easy way. But the easy way, no pains, no gains. So the easy way leads to misery and more suffering. And the hard way has to be done. And unless it is done, there is no solution out of this material world. One has to do it. One has to perform devotion service. Someday we have to come to the point when we can completely give up all material attraction, material engagement. The time has to come. And unless the time comes, we cannot go back to Godhead. Not possible. So, here the example of such a devotee is given, who, after coming to devotion service, after having become fortunate to become a devotee, to gain the association of devotees, again the person falls down. Prabhupada illustrates the example of Billamangala Thakur, who in his previous life had attained the stage of bhava. So he was a very exalted devotee. But in the next life, due to some reaction, he fell down to the life of an ordinary man who was madly attracted to a prostitute, Chintamani. So he used to always go and see her, meet her. One day it was so heavily raining that Chintamani thought to herself that today he will not come. But even in such rains, he crossed the river, climbed the wall and broke open the window and jumped into the room. His whole body filled with bruises and bleeding. Profusely he fell at her feet and said, "I have come to meet you." So Chintamani told him, "What a great fool you are. Simply for the attraction of the skin, you have taken so much trouble. If you took even a fraction of this trouble, then remember Lord Krishna, you would have attained him long ago," she said. And immediately, Billamangala came to his senses. He said, "Yes, what you are saying is very true. I have been a fool all my life. Now, I will not waste a moment. I will go to Vrindavan right now and become Krishna's devotee. And in this way, I will attain Krishna in this very life. I will not waste my time anymore." Saying like this, Billamangala started proceeding to Vrindavan. But you see, sometimes you get wounded in your leg. But again and again you get wound in the same leg. You get hit. You have seen that? You have seen sometimes. You want to protect the wound, but then you find again you get hit for the second time. Similarly, Billamangala also, while he was going to Vrindavan again, he was attacked by the lust, attraction for a woman. Because he stayed at the house of a merchant. And the merchant's wife was very beautiful. So he started throwing lusty look at her. Although he was wearing a dress of a mendicant who was heading towards Vrindavan. So the merchant's wife asked the merchant, "Oh, this man seems to be interested in me. How can I serve him? Because the way he looks at me, he seems he is lusting after me." But the merchant said, no, he is a sadhu, he is a mendicant, it's your duty to serve him. So continue serving him," he said, the merchant said. So she started continuing to serve him, food and water and everything. So at that time, Billamangala cursed himself. "What a great lusty rogue am I, that I want to enjoy the wife of another man." He told her, "My dear mother, please give me your two hairpins from your head." And he picked up those hairpins and he plucked out his two eyes and he became blind. And then he headed towards Vrindavan. So when he went to Vrindavan, singing Krishna's names, there he could see Krishna very clearly with his blind eyes. And he sang Krishna Karanamrita, a very famous poetry, in glorification of Lord Krishna as a Kaishor, in his Kaishora stage. So in this way, although he apparently had a setback or fall down in his spiritual life, again Billamangala developed his ardent taste for Krishna in this life. In this way, sometimes a devotee may fall down owing to the great power of illusory energy. But as it is said here, he doesn't give up the lotus feet of the Lord, because the taste for serving the Lord is so strong that a devotee very soon gets tired with material life. Like we have practical experience, we have seen sometimes somebody joins the temple, he takes brahmachari ashram, sometimes he takes saffron, and he's trying to advance. Owing to some reason, one suddenly loses some taste, or one becomes attracted to material life. Somebody may leave the ashram and want to again go back to material life. That is the reason we tell all our boys that you do job and get thoroughly frustrated with material life before you come into ashram. That's one of the reasons. Because sometimes a boy has a lingering taste in his heart. Somehow or other I couldn't go to America and come, you know. He has the aspiration. Now, I even completed my GRE, but they didn't allow me to go. They told me to join. So he gets, he remembers the eagerness for going abroad. Or sometimes the boy feels, people in the outside world are so nicely enjoying. Like if one is a neophyte brahmachari, he goes to some very big palatial bungalow of a rich man. He thinks, this man has a very big bungalow. He has nice cars. And he has a beautiful wife. And they have so much gold and silver. Seems they don't have much trouble. Why these brahmacharis are fanatically preaching there is so much suffering in the world? Although he is also brahmachari. Why are they preaching like this? Material world doesn't seem to be so bad. These Hare Krishnas exaggerate things. So he thinks, I should also give a try. Probably they cheated me, they have made me a mendicant. You know, they showed me up and they put me in the ashram. If only I were in the outside life, I would be earning a lot of money. I would be in the top software company. I will be a big owner of a company. I will earn, make a lot of money. I will fly to America. I will be a busy business magnate. So, in this way, he contemplates on his material life. And then thinking, see, you are where your mind is. That's a saying. If one contemplates on material life in this way, naturally, very soon Krishna will arrange for such material life. Then one leaves the ashram. Then one may take to material life. And one may get into the entanglement of the material world. One may have a bungalow, one may have wife, children, family, business, fly here, fly there, do here, do that. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you go here, go there, do this, do that. Ultimately, you have to round and round come back to Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, he says. Birth, old age, this is death. It's like a whirlpool. Go round, 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 round. And what is the center? Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi. Software engineer, come back to Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi. Mendicant, again Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi. Woman, or children, or old man, rich man, poor man, everyone comes in the same whirlpool. Finally, one has to face death one day. So, every one of us have to die. But it depends on what quality of life you have led that will decide your future life. Even sadhus have to die. It's not that sadhus never die. Everyone has to die. But if I have led a quality life, I can be sure that after death, I will not get the next material body. I will go back to spiritual world. That assurance is given by Krishna. But otherwise, one thinks happiness is in the material world. I have not enjoyed enough. So, that's what he also thought, Yayati. Yayati told the father of Devyani, father-in-law, what have you done to me? We have taken away my potency to enjoy with my wife. Now you have made me an old man. But I haven't sufficiently experienced material life. Unless one sufficiently experienced material life, then how will one be frustrated? Only when I am frustrated thoroughly, then only I can surrender to God. So he said, please give me back my youth so I can enjoy. So he begged his own sons to give back his youth to enjoy, thinking that he will be able to enjoy for a long time. But very soon he got frustrated with material life. So he says, evam varsha sahasrani manashashtair manasukam pidadano pinatrapya sarubham kadindriyai. He says, I tried to enjoy this material world, but I was frustrated, he says. Thousands of years I tried as a king with all the facilities and everything. If you are wise people, we should hear from great souls who are giving us good teachings through Bhagavatam. And one should not unnecessarily struggle to enjoy material life. Happiness is not in parties and wearing jeans and smoking cigarettes and having girlfriends, wearing sunglasses and wandering in bikes here and there, showing one's masculine nature. Happiness doesn't lie there. It is simply outward show. And all this youthful glamour will come to a full stop when old age sets in and death takes its toll. One will be finished. So it takes a little bit of common sense and wisdom to understand in youth that youth is fleeting and it will pass away and all senses will lose their power. If I am wise, I should work for the future. I should work for the next life. One will have that intelligence. So when one becomes a devotee of the Lord, that means one is hooked to Krishna. Now your ability to enjoy material life is finished after you become a devotee. Because when you try to go back to material life, you will be able to clearly see that I am trying to enjoy but I am not able to. Because it's causing me suffering. Because you can clearly see, you have the knowledge. You have the clear-cut knowledge. What is illusion? What is truth? Once you know illusion as illusion, the illusion doesn't give you happiness anymore. Only if you think the illusion to be something that's very relishable, and if you are covered, then only you can enjoy. So it's very difficult for a devotee to, for example, pig is used to living in gutter. He thinks it's enjoyment, so he can live. Can a human being go into gutter and imitate the pig? Imagine one of us. We also feel, no, it's a very hot sunny day, you know. Let us go into the gutter along with the pig. Pig is jumping. He's jumping. And you also go inside the water. You also jump. You can enjoy that. He'll be stinking. He will jump out of it, even if you try it. You cannot tolerate like the pig. Because you are a human being. You cannot enjoy. Not possible. Similarly, once you have become a devotee, you have already tasted higher taste. At least you have got a drop of it, at least. That one drop which he's talking about here. That one drop of bliss that a devotee tastes in spiritual life. That is enough. That experience is enough. When you try to go to material life, you'll be frustrated in material life. And Lord will take additional action on you to frustrate you more. He will not keep you there. He will kick you from there. Go back. What are you doing here? He will not let you be there for a long time. Of course, he will want you to get frustrated yourself. But if he finds that you are delighting in material enjoyment, he will give a kick. Go back, you rascal. You are trying to enjoy here. Then he will send you back. Just like Indra became a pig, isn't it? Brahmaji came. He said, Indra, you are the king of all demigods. You are supposed to be in heaven, ruling all the gods. What are you doing here? But Indra pig was telling, what he was saying? Just look at my beautiful wife. Every morning she brings me a fresh plate of hot stool. And just look at my beautiful piglet children. See, their mouth is so beautiful. See their eyes. All of them make such sweet sounds. Simply hearing their sounds gives me great joy. And this gutter is the most comfortable place for me. And why do you ask me to leave all these comforts and come with you? Let me be in happiness and peace. Brahma understood this fellow is now attached. Like the other day, Govind was telling, Narakastopi deham bhai napamam stektum ichati. Even in hell, one thinks there is enjoyment, and one doesn't want to give up the hellish enjoyment. So he took a bow and arrow, and he killed his piglets, and killed his pig wife. Now practically rendered, without any relatives, penniless. Now the pig came out of the water and he started weeping and crying. Now he thought there is no one for me in this world. Then he asked, is there any other better place for me? And Brahma said, now you become Indra. Go back to heaven. He took him back. Similarly, Lord also will arrange the situation for the devotee to return back to him. There was a very famous devotee in South India named Vipranarayan. So this Vipranarayan was a very great devotee of the Lord, Lord Vishnu. He was always serving him. In fact, he never was attracted to the things of the material world, so he never got entangled. He never got married. He lived alone. He was maintaining a beautiful garden, growing tulasi for serving the Lord. So he was applying Tulasi for Lord's service. So one day, a Deva Devi, a society girl, she used to visit the King Chola regularly. So she was passing through the garden. So she thought, let me rest for a while in the garden and then proceed. So she came to the garden and sat in a chair there. And very close to her, Vipranarayan was, you know, watering Tulasi and taking care of Tulasi. And Devadevi was very surprised. You know, although I am sitting so close to him, although I am so beautiful, very attractive, everyone in society looks up and down on me. But here is a man who doesn't even turn towards me, pay any heed to me. He is simply absorbed in remembrance of his deity, watering Tulasi and remembering the Lord. So Devadevi already knew about him. Devadevi had a sister. So her sister had told her that this Vipranarayan is such a great devotee of the Lord that he has absolutely no attraction to anything in this world. He is totally, his mind is focused on the deities. But if you can divert his attention from attraction to God to attraction to yourself, then I am ready to become your slave for 6 months. So Devadevi's sister made a challenge to her. So this came to the mind of Devadevi. So she approached Vipranarayan and fell at his feet and begged him for some service. She said, "Oh great devotee, let me tell you, I am a society girl and because of my poverty-stricken nature I have become like this. I have taken to this lowly profession. But now I am repenting for all my sinful deeds in the past. Now I don't want to be a sinner anymore. I simply want to be a devotee of the Lord, just like you. Please allow me to do some service and spend away the rest of my life in devotion to Lord." And Vipranarayan gave her some service in the garden. And very faithfully, she was entering service. Because he was innocent, he allowed her to serve and she was serving. So 6 months, very devotedly she served. And after 6 months were over, one day there was a heavy rains and she got completely drenched and still she was continuing to serve in the garden. So when Vipranarayan came out of his small cottage and saw her serving like this, he said, "Oh, you are getting so wet in the rain. Please come inside the cottage and be there till the rain stops." So she thought, this is a golden opportunity for me. She was a mistress of seduction. She was a very great expert in that. She had that expertise in the past. So when she came inside the cottage, she told Vipranarayan, "You have been doing so many services, so many activities all day for so many months, but I never see you taking rest. Let me massage your weary limbs of your body." So because Vipranarayan was very innocent, he allowed her and she started massaging his feet. And because she was expert in enamoring, putting men in enticement, so she behaved with him in such a way that Vipranarayan became maddened by lust. And once she saw that Vipranarayan is now mad after me, she immediately, her business was over for which she came there. She left him and went home. And Vipranarayan ran after her to her house. And she bolted the door. Still he was battering the door, sitting outside and crying and weeping. And he lost all his dignity in the eyes of the public. So on that day, one of the days, when there was a procession of Lord Ranganath and Lakshmiji passing by through the street. So Goddess of Fortune Lakshmi saw the condition of Vipranarayan. She asked the Lord, "What happened to your loyal and faithful devotee who was always serving you? Just look at his plight. Why is it so?" Then Lord Narayana smiled and explained everything to Lakshmi. Then Lakshmiji could not bear with the situation. She said, "You should immediately help him. Please don't test your devotee like this. You see, this is the mercy of Goddess of Fortune. She is always trying to help the devotees to come back to the Lord." She said, "You should again bring Vipranarayan back to your service. Please engage him in your service." The Lord said, I have a great plan for him. Don't worry, very soon he will come back to me. And that night, something amazing happened. Because the next day morning, the pujaris and attendants did not find the gold lota, gold tumbler which was used in the deity room. At the same time, somebody came to the house of Devadevi and battered the door. And she opened the door. And that person said, I am servant of Viprinarayan. I have come to give this tumbler to you. So she accepted it very happily. She thought that he had sent a gift. So she kept it under her pillow. So there was one of the lovers of one of the attendants serving Ranganath who was serving as a servant maid under Devadevi. So she noticed that tumbler which Devadevi was keeping under the pillow. And she understood that my lover, who is attendant of Ranganath, along with the pujaris, has been arrested because of this. So she immediately went to the king and reported to the king that we have found out that the glass is with Devadevi. Viprinarayan has sent it to her. Immediately Viprinarayan and this Devadevi, they were called for by the king. Immediately they both were arrested. And then in interrogation, and Devadevi was fined. She had to pay a heavy fine. She paid. And Viprinarayan didn't have any money. And he was kept for, he was retained for further investigation under the king. So chains were put around his hands and legs. And he was kept in the jail. So again seeing this, Lakshmiji became very, very restless. She told Lord Vishnu, what is this? I told you to save your devotee. Now you have made your devotee more miserable. This is too much. Please kindly relieve your devotee. Please engage him in your service. Then that night, when king went to sleep, Lord Narayana appeared in his dream and said, my dear king, this Viprinarayana is an innocent Brahmana. In his previous life, he did some sins due to which I am punishing him now. His punishment period is over now. We should not give him any more punishment. Please release him. And next day morning, immediately, the king called for Devadevi, gave back her fine that he took from her, and also released Viprinarayan. When Viprinarayan went back to home, he understood the danger of association of opposite sex. At the same time, his mind became flooded with the thoughts of the deity, Ranganathji. In this way, he became again completely fixed at the feet of Lord Vishnu until his last breath in his life. In fact, Viprinarayan contemplated in his mind, how will I never fall down in my spiritual life? How will I always be fixed in the feet of the Lord? Then he understood the only way is to take the dust of the lotus feet of devotees. So thinking like this, he would wash the feet of devotees and drink that water. So he came to be called as Thondaradippudi Alvar. Thondaradippudi, Thondar means those who are slaves to the Lord. They are devotees of the Lord. Adi means the feet. Podi means dust. So Thondar Adi Podi means the dust particles that are decorating the lotus feet of devotees. So he would wash their feet and accept the water, and he would drink it regularly and bathe himself with that. In this way he conquered all the lust in his heart, and he never ever fell victim to lust. Like you hear in this pastime of the devotee, how he was a wonderful devotee, his mind was fixed in Krishna. Similarly, all of us are trying to become devotees, but we will see that although we are trying to become devotees, still there's a likelihood that the old remnants of the materialistic activities may again be lurking in our hearts. It's possible. It's not that one shaves up and wears a tilak and wears devotee dress and you become a devotee. No. Shaving up head is more easy than shaving up the material disease. The material diseases are very deep-rooted. And they don't very easily die. So, a devotee should constantly be vigilant not to succumb to the material disease. There is a very famous verse in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, Jata Shraddho Matkatasu Nirvinna Sarva Karmasu Veda Dukkatmakan Kaman Parityage Pyanishwarah ततो भजेत माम प्रीतः श्रद्धालुर दृढ़ निश्चयः जुषमानश्च तान् कामान् दुःखोदरकांश्च गर्हयन्. Having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. So it's a very deep verse. So this says that a devotee feels nirvinna. Nirvinna means he considers sense gratification disgusting. He doesn't like it. He understands that sense gratification is disgusting. It's because, as I told you in the beginning, he knows all material activities lead to sense gratification. Sense gratification leads to misery. So he knows it. So he considers them disgusting. He's not very happy. For example, even a family man who has wife, children, family, business and all these things, he knows that all these things are temporary and they all will come to pass. My one relationship is with Krishna. But still sometimes he may find material attraction to his wife, material attraction to his, to the broken words of his children, or material attraction to the possessions that he has, like the car and the bungalow and the job and facilities. He feels the kama. Kama means the material attraction. He feels attraction to these things. And very quickly he realizes that this material attraction is foolishness, because this is all simply temporary. It is imitation of the spiritual world. I should only feel attraction for Krishna. So that kind of nirvinna he feels, disgust. Similarly, brahmachari also, it is said, kaya, vacha, manasa, sarvabastam, sarvada, sarvatra maitunatyago, brahmacharyam prakshate. So brahmachari should not even contemplate, think of sex life. Kaya, vacha, manasa. By body, by words, and by mind, one should never ever contemplate on sex life. But sometimes, owing to the past life conditionings, because one has indulged in such activities in the past, one is unable to completely keep the mind clean. So such a brahmachari, Prabhupada says, experiences the mental fall down. So mentally, one may contemplate on dirty things in the mind. So one should feel similar disgust, nirvinna, sarvakarmasu, in all such materialistic activities. Sometimes, not only sex life, brahmachari may sometimes contemplate on getting some name and fame. If I accept this post, then everyone will salute me, everyone will respect me. In this way, I will become recognized in the society of devotees. And in this way, all people will bow down to me and say, I am a great Prabhu. So in this way, one secretly contemplates in the heart, oh, I will get that post, I will get this post. One is attracted to the post and position. Or sometimes one thinks about the facilities that come with the post. If I am in this post, you know, they will give me these facilities. One wants those facilities. Or one wants the fame or the name that comes with the post, or the respect that other people give. So this is also called a subtle sex. So there is gross sex and there is subtle sex. One may contemplate on this. Or one does some activity and one is very eager to hear the glories, glorification from others. So all these things. So a sincere devotee will feel disgust. He will think, what a rascal am I? I am desiring such things. I have come to perform devotional service, but I am contemplating on such things. What a fool am I? He laughs at himself. You rascal mind, you are leading me towards the wrong path. A devotee can clearly see. That means sometimes the devotee is put in a tug of war in the mind. Sometimes he knows that one should not contemplate on those things. And the mind contemplates, so he is in a kind of tug of war. That's why the word nirvinna is said. Kaman, such materialistic things. Anishwaraha means he has no control. Many a times, One wants to give up sense gratification, but one finds as if, just like if you see in Jagannath Puri, the waves of the ocean are very, very powerful there. And our devotees go gently, when you just enter the ocean, initially it is, you know, enjoyable. Because the waves come, you know, when a big wave comes, you jump on the top of the wave, you know. And sometimes when a very big wave comes, you go behind, below the wave, you know. Sometimes devotees are flapping with the waves and enjoying. But sometimes you suddenly find that all the sand under your soles of your feet are dragged by somebody. And then you are going, it's like soft sand, your feet goes inside. Huh? And suddenly you find a wave knocks you off and you fall and you don't know swimming. And the wave comes up to the shore and then drags you inside the ocean. And then you cry, you cry, waving your hands and legs. You want to escape. And you feel, I'm gone now. It just drags you inside. And another wave comes and a slap on your face and topples you, and you take some 3-4 what you call dives, and then you come to the seashore, your head crashing to the ground, and you hit your nose and your nose starts bleeding. Sometimes you see, then you understand the ocean waves are not fun anymore. Material life is exactly like this. Material life in the beginning, very good, la 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 la, it's very good, huh? You may sing songs. Very nice in the beginning. It's like playing with the waves, you know. You go inside a little bit, you know, play with the water, put on your head. But, and then when material Maya shows her teeth, come inside. You know, shows like Shurpanakha showed her form, you know. She shows and pat, 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 and you get knocks. And then you realize, my Lord, this is not enjoyment anymore. So material life is like that. One will come to one's senses later. Gradually over a period of time. So, Anishwara means helplessly dragged into material life. That is Anishwara. One has no control. Sometimes one finds the waves of material life are so strong that one is dragged. One has bead bag, one has tilak, one has Prabhupada books in hand, and one is dragged. Dragged to material life. With all these accessories in hand, still, one can see that there is Anishwara. One has no control. But he says, Dhridanishchayaha, he says. Dhridanishchayaha, the word Dhridanishchaya means, one says, my dear Lord, because of my shameful past, my mind is absorbed in material consciousness. I know very well that material life cannot give me enjoyment, cannot give any satisfaction. Your devotional service alone can bring forth true happiness. And I am simply your devotee, and I have no connection to this material world. But still, I am dragged by the waves of sense gratification. Even if you place a million obstacles in front of me, and even if you force me to indulge in material life, and you send me to hell, I will never give up your lotus feet. That is my firm determination. Why? Because I know very well that there is no better shelter for any living entity other than your lotus feet. So I know that many, many obstacles are coming, and I don't have any strength to face them. And I know that the way I slip sometimes and fall down will send me to hell. But what can I do? This is all due to my shameful past. And a devotee constantly repents over and over again, very sincerely. And he is determined not to deliberately engage in sense gratification. He is 100% determined. He doesn't want to engage in sense gratification, but he is helplessly engaged by Maya sometimes due to accidental fall down. So, such a devotee is called as a devotee with Dhridanishchaya. That's what here also he says. Even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down, somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others. Because a person who has relished once the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. So, Vipranarayan's case we heard, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma Shashvat Chantim Nigachati. Very quickly he resumed the spiritual life and he never looked back to material life again. So, because the devotee has performed his devotional service. Of course, if a devotee taking advantage of this verse thinks that my repeated fall down is not so much criticized by the Lord. The Lord says that my devotee comes back. So I can come back 100 times and keep falling down again. Then it goes into the zone of seventh offense. Namno baladyasihi papa buddhihi. That means committing offense against the strength of the holy name. So a devotee deliberately never indulges in sense gratification. Nor does a devotee do anything that will eventually take him away from Krishna. A devotee is utmost cautious and he always puts himself in the company of devotees. But what we are talking about is an accidental fall down or some misfortune or some inauspiciousness that may come in the life of a devotee owing to some sinful past or very strong conditioning. It should be thoroughly understood like that. Only such an accidental fall down is forgiven by the Lord because that was not deliberately done by the devotee. But such a devotee who is sincere at heart will be very soon brought back by the Lord himself. Lord will make some arrangements like he made for Viprinarayan to bring him back. Lord will make arrangements to bring him back. Lord will surely do that. So Prabhupada quotes this, Shuchinam Shimatam Gehe Yoga Brashta Bijayate. So even if a devotee falls in this life, you know, he may again, like sometimes a devotee finds that, you know, his mother and father take him away from devotional service. They throw away his bed bag, they take away his books and put it in Radhi. They don't let him be a devotee anymore. They take him home and they put him in a job or business and don't let him be a devotee. Sometimes owing to respect for the parents on one hand and fear of disrespecting them or non-cooperating with them, sometimes a neophyte devotee leaves Krishna consciousness like that and is engaged with the parents in household activities lifelong and he loses devotion service. But then next life he'll be, owing to material disease he must have gone away, but he'll become a Shuchinam, Srimatam, Gehe. He'll go to heaven, finish off his material disease and then come back in the house of a Brahmana or in the house of a mercantile man. So Prabhupada says such a birth is not very great, Prabhupada is saying. Why? Because even if you are born a Brahmana family or a rich family, and you are a very pious person, you know, you may construct a temple, you may, you know, render some kind of benefit for the people. He says such a pious person sometimes does not develop a great hankering to meet the Lord face to face. Such a person does not develop a great eagerness to return back to spiritual world. He is somewhat like pious materialist. He is thinking, I am pious, my family is pious and everything is going on peacefully, no problems. So such a person is considered less fortunate, although he may be pious. But who is more fortunate? He says the devotee who becomes helpless by the will of the Lord is more fortunate than those who are born in good families. The fallen devotee born in a good family may forget the lotus feet of the Lord because they are less fortunate. But the devotee who is put into a forlorn condition is more fortunate because he swiftly returns to the lotus feet of the Lord, thinking himself helpless all around. In Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto itself, we get the information about Parikshit Maharaj. How when Parikshit Maharaj once was going in the forest, at one point of time in the forest he had gone for hunting, he became extremely fatigued, extremely thirsty for a cup of water. So he came to the hermitage of the great Rishi, Samik Rishi. Samik Rishi was sitting in trance with his eyes closed. It is said his breath was completely under control and all the material elements of his body, he was completely detached from them. He was completely in a state of trance. He was oblivious to everything all around. The sage was sitting there. So Parikshit wanted a cup of water. When he came to the house, he was thoroughly neglected. What to speak of somebody giving a water? Nobody asked him anything. You see, in the Vedic life, one would be, even if one is very poor, one would naturally offer the respect to any guest who comes. When Parikshit came there to that house, he never expected any big kind of welcome. He knew that rishis and munis are generally not rich, they are poor. So naturally he expected simply a cup of water and a chatai, a place to sit, and some sweet words, which is the Vedic custom. But he never thought he would be denied that. That was a very great surprise for him. Because he was not an ordinary guest, he was the king of the whole world. He was ruling the whole world. Naturally, when somebody is ruling the whole world, wherever you go, depending on your position, people would immediately stand up, they would bring a garland, they would bring water, they would bow down to you or whatever, all kinds of respect they would give you. A king is called as a Naradev. Naradev means the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He should be worshipped exactly like God. Should be treated exactly like God. That kind of respect was given to the kings. But here he was. He was outrightly neglected. And he was not an enemy either to this Rishi. Somebody may think that, you know, probably he was the enemy, so he was neglected. In Vedic life, even the enemies were not rejected or neglected. If you see, Jarasandha in Magadha, when he received Bhima, Arjuna and Krishna, when they all came together in the garb of a brahmanas, he understood that these are not brahmanas who have come for charity, because their shoulders show the, you know, marks of quiver, and their shoulders are well built. They are very, very strong and sturdy. He knew that these are likely to be my enemies. They have come to fight with me or quarrel with me, but in disguise. He understood that. Still he welcomed them. He made them sit, he gave them water, he gave them food, praised them, befriended them. So we can see that in those days, even Kshatriyas, even the enemies who are fighting terrible war, risking their life and death, in the evenings you will find them, they'll be shaking each other's hands, sitting together, very casually talking and exchanging, just like friends. So even enemy was given utmost respect in the Vedic times. Here Parikshit was not enemy to the Rishi. And even if he was an enemy, he should be given respect. You can understand that. But still, when Parikshit saw this, he became angry. That is also very astonishing. Why? Because this king was not an ordinary king. He was a very great devotee of Krishna. His name is called Parikshit. Why? Because when he was born, he would check every man. He would do pariksha of every man. Is it the same Lord whom I saw in my womb, who came to protect me? Like that he would search every man to check. He would do pariksha of every man. So he came to be called as Parikshit. Yeah. He was such a great devotee that Lord himself came to protect him in the womb, when he was in his mother's womb, from the Brahmastra. And he was a natural devotee of Krishna. Because if you see, he comes in the lineage of Pandavas. Pandavas were great devotees, and Parikshit had an intense devotion for Krishna also. Then it's surprising, how did such a king become angry on Samikrishi? That's very astonishing also. Like you find, the kings would show their anger towards a wretch, sinful wretch, if somebody commits some sinful activities. But they would never show anger on five people. The cows, the women, the children, the old people and the brahmanas. Even if the five people do some mistake, they would not punish them at all. Because they knew that these are weaklings in society. They need to be protected and cared for. And even if they would do a mistake, they would ignore it, overlook it. They would not punish them. That is a Vedic standard. But here the king harbored a desire in his heart to punish the sage. That is certainly very, very surprising. That is why it is said in Bhagavatam, how certainly it is the will of the Lord that Parikshit should have such a desire in his heart to punish the sage. So, like tit for tat, because the sage, Parikshit thought that he ignored me, not giving me a cup of water. He saw there was a snake, a dead snake in front of the Rishi. So he was, Parikshit was thinking that the sage is pretending to be in trance and is neglecting me and ignoring me. So let me put a dead snake on his neck and let him come to his senses. So he took the dead snake and put it on his neck. And such a behavior was not at all befitting a great devotee like Parikshit. And he would never do that. It's impossible for great devotees to behave like that. But he behaved like that only because the Lord desired Parikshit to behave like that. It was will of the Lord. There is no other reason. Sometimes very great pure devotees of the Lord sometimes do some strange things which cannot be explained. So Parikshit did such a thing. Why? The Lord sometimes creates an awkward position for his devotees to very soon bring the devotees back to his lotus feet. So Parikshit was ruling the whole world, and everything was his property. Everyone was cooperative. His citizens were all very good. There was no problem in his life. But the Lord thought, let him not become simply attached to his army or his family members. and the materialistic things of this world. And let him not get stuck up in the material world. Let him renounce all these things and take shelter of my lotus feet. Now it is high time. Let him return back to spiritual world. This was Lord's desire. And the Lord also desired that let the glorious Srimad Bhagavatam be spoken. If Srimad Bhagavatam is not spoken, how will the people benefit? So Lord wanted to make Parikshit a medium to whom the Bhagavatam will be spoken. So in order to do the glorious thing, the Lord utilized his devotee like a puppet. So it was Lord who orchestrated Parikshit to behave like this, to pick up the snake and put it on the neck of Samikrishi. So when Parikshit went back home, immediately he realized his folly. He said to himself, "What did I do? I committed a great blunder." See, a devotee who is sincere, if he does a mistake, immediately, very soon he feels guilt. That's the heart of a devotee. If one is a devotee, if he does mistake, immediately the Lord within the heart gives him signal that you have done a mistake. And Parikshit was feeling very bad when he went back. At the same time, he was cursed by Sringi, the son of the Brahmana. And then Parikshit at once relinquished all his worldly things and headed to the banks of Ganges. Simply wearing very simple dress, he went to the sage Shukadeva Goswami, and taking his shelter, he asked questions for his ultimate well-being, which also became beneficial to all the living beings through the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Tatsu Prabhupada is saying, the devotee who becomes helpless by the will of the Lord is more fortunate. Here Parikshit thought, why did I behave like this? So he became helpless. He was put in a helpless situation. Although he was not the cause of that helpless situation, Lord was the cause. Lord sometimes puts his devotee in a helpless situation, awkward position like that, and makes devotee helpless. Why? Because such a devotee, what does he do? The devotee who is put into a forlorn condition is more fortunate because he swiftly returns to the lotus feet of the Lord, thinking himself helpless all around. So devotee takes shelter of Krishna. There is no other way. Parikshit thought, 7 days I am going to die. Then I have to do something that is best for me at this point of time. He immediately rushed to the devotees' association, leaving aside all the things of the world. So in this way, sometimes the Lord arranges the devotee to return back to him swiftly, as he did with Vritrasura. Whom the Lord brought back to his feet the same way. Because who is Vritrasura? Is Chitraketu. See, Chitraketu was initiated by Narada Muni and he became a great devotee. Earlier he was in bewilderment, you know. He wanted a son, Harshashoka, and then he was bewildered. Narada Muni liberated him from bewilderment and made him a devotee. But sometimes what happens, a devotee becomes simply complacent. So Chitraketu was flying in the sky with the Vidyadhara woman in his plane. So all of them jointly chanting the holy names and delighting in the material world. Because Vishwam Purna Sukhayate, for a devotee the world becomes a happy place. He thinks there's no problem. Everything goes well, everything is smooth. He was very happy. But the Lord was not happy. The Lord thought that, no, I want to bring my devotee back to my lotus feet. He should not become too happy with the material world and get stuck up here. So let him come back to me. So the Lord, see, the devotional service path is very dynamic. Nothing is stagnant here. Everything is changing always. So there's a dynamic reciprocation between Lord and the devotee at every point of time. That is why it is better for us to always repent our faults so that we become reformed and purified very soon before the Lord makes his own plan to deliver us. Isn't it? Either the Lord will make plan to deliver you, or better that you keep repenting about the past and try to go back to him close yourself. So the choice is ours. But you cannot be stagnant anywhere. No devotee can say, now I have everything at my disposal, everything is going on well. That means Lord will be planning something for you. Like he plans with everyone, with all the devotees. So Lord planned for Chitraketu also. He made an arrangement by which Chitraketu spoke something which, I mean, he laughed at Lord Shiva. And Parvati, when Lord Shiva was keeping Parvati on his lap and giving a lecture on Vairagya, he laughed. And then Parvati cursed him to become a demon. And Chitraketu exemplified ideal Vaishnava behavior of not cursing back or not accepting the curse. So we can see Chitraketu gratefully accepted, and in the behavior of Vritrasura, So many lessons for the Vaishnavas that he gave. And he went back to Godhead. So Indra wanted post and position. So he remained in the material world after killing Dhritarashtra. He continued to rule as Indra, struggling in the material world. Whereas you see Dhritarashtra, he was killed by Indra by the arrangement of the Lord, and he went back to spiritual world. Sometimes the Lord wants to take back someone to spiritual world. The Lord may orchestrate the devotee to do something that will bring glory to the devotee, that will bring benefit to other people. At the same time, the devotee will achieve the company of the Lord in the spiritual world. So that is a very, very special situation. So such fall downs should not be treated as fall downs at all, because they are actually arranged by the Lord. So Parikshit should never be thought of to be at fault. If somebody thinks Parikshit to be at fault, then they are at fault. So one should understand that this fall down is actually orchestrated by the Lord. And again the same point, we should not fall down ourselves and say that Lord is doing some orchestration in my life also. Some orchestra is going on. Yeah, Maya's orchestra is going on. When we say in our neophyte stage, Lord is orchestrating, it is Maya's orchestra. So only in the lives of very advanced devotees, Lord will do such things. Actually, we are so small and so tiny that even one small slap Maya gives, we will be knocked off to the ground. So only when devotees become very advanced and become very firmly situated in devotion service, sometimes the Lord may do such playful pastimes to bring the devotee back to his lotus feet. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.